we go about spending transportation funding, and I'm gonna invite Deidre Landrin and Mike Besner up to the table to talk with us about all this.
Welcome back.
You have 6 minutes.
Thank you.
Again?
I can make it happen.
Randy, I know he's working his way back here, but we can go. So, we're here to talk about ways that the county and DTD believe we can spend the extra money that we're getting as part of House Bill 2017.
Well, first, it's not extra money, it's more money.
It is more money, correct.
Extra money, we're a long ways from that.
Correct. Thank you for the clarification. So House Bill 2017 was the large transportation bill passed by the state legislature last year. It increased a lot of fees and taxes, and it's providing more revenue for public agencies throughout the state for use on their roads. We also are getting the amount that would have gone to the city of Damascus, although there's a lot still in question there. But we get that portion, too, as part of the law that gives us 10 years' worth of their revenue. And we're not here to talk about that part of it. Just want to differentiate it, but just so you're aware, we get that part also. The amount of money we get builds up slowly over an 8 to 10 year period. It starts in at $3 million extra dollars, more dollars. And over time, it builds up to about $13 million more dollars a year. Those are estimates from ODOT. As we've talked about throughout the public campaign we did, you know, our shortfall for road maintenance is $17 million. So even at the $13 million, it doesn't quite get there, which I think is what your comment was getting at.
And that's $17 million now.
Actually, probably a couple years ago, but yeah. And of that, about 12 was for actual work on the ground, and about 5 was simply to keep doing what we're currently doing, knowing that costs go up as time goes on, and revenue was staying pretty stagnant. So we have a plan here to talk about, and the spreadsheet we're gonna look at is in addition to the money that we currently get. So we're not really talking about our current operations with one exception that I'll get to, but it's all with this $3 million ramping up to $13 million, what do we want to plan for? And there's a lot of reasons to start planning now that I'll get into. So to give an overview, and I'm looking at this, which if you have only 8.5 by 11 is probably hard to read.
So I am just downloading a magnifying glass onto my iPhone right now. You wonder what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Here it is. It's really fast if you want to do it.
Where's your iPhone? I have one.
It's in my phone.
Anyone need to borrow my phone?
No, I have the app.
Here we go. Oh, I can see it now.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I
can you download a charge to my phone?
Oh, I don't know. I can do that.
Well, that's not in the plan.
Not that good.
So the first thing, so the revenues that we're estimating are along the top, and there you can see 18-19, $3 million, and then out to, we've just gone 10 years here, it's 13.4. One other thing I want to point out is that 13.4 at the end, that's in perpetuity. This isn't a 10-year thing and then it goes away. It's 10-year ramp up and then it stays at the high level.
Oh, it stays at the high level.
Yes.
So that would be on top of how much currently?
Currently, we get 24, 25.
Million?
Yes.
That's confusing. If we're 17 million behind, is that telling me that we're getting 20, say 24 million, we should be getting
41.
41?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Now I'm locked in. Thank
you. Okay.
They got nice big ones. I just don't think that's fair.
Yeah. Want to trade?
No, that's okay. You have to present. So,
so the top part here is there's this table is broken into two things. The top part are programs, and the bottom part is staff time. I want to go over the programs first. And again, this is a plan to help us budget and to let you know, because I know there's been questions. What are we going to do with this money? So the top line there says funding needed to maintain existing services. As we just talked about with the $17 million shortfall, $5 million of it was just to keep doing what we've been doing and be sustainable. We're talking, we'd like to use $1 million of the new money towards that for right now. And the reason is it stems, the road fund has been losing $3-4 million a year out of our ending fund balance, so at least budget-wise, that's what we've been doing. And this will slow that enough where as this money ramps up, it'll take care of it by the end a little bit better. So $1 million right now slows it down to let the new revenue ramp up. And I don't think we need to designate much more than that to current operations to prevent our fund balance from going too low. But Deidre will talk about that later. The next line is additional paving contracts. Currently, we're doing probably $3 to $3.5 million in contract paving. This is in addition to that. It's a significant new investment in our system. On the right column, all the way to the right, it shows in the 10-year period, it's an extra $45 million in paving, which is almost 50% of the total money we're expecting to get out of this in the 10 years. So it's a significant investment. What it does, our new pavement management system is able to do forecasting for 5 years. It can't do 10. So we did the 5 years here, which with the lower numbers, and it shows that with this investment, we're almost going to keep at level with what we have right now. Very close. You know, PCI is rated 0 to 100. If we do only the three and a half a year, PCI is pavement condition index, I believe. It's 0 to 100. It's how the you just say PCI. You're supposed to know what that is. No, it's
had to be reminded.
That's yeah. Credit card fees.
Yeah.
Compliance.
Not this one. And so it's how the region measures their payment quality. So we're showing in this 5 year period, it'll be 2 points higher if we do this investment here. And then it would be if we simply continue doing the $3-3.5 million a year. And as we go on and this ramps up, we're not able to forecast it right now because our software doesn't go out that far. It'd be a lot of error, but it should go up quite a bit more. The ADA ramps is the next line, and currently we've been budgeting $180,000 a year on standalone ADA projects. That's in addition to development review coming in and fixing ramps, in addition to maintenance doing paving and fixing ramps, in addition to capital projects fixing ramps. This is starting out an additional $200,000 a year.
So $380,000.
$380,000 of standalone ADA projects. And what it does is it shortens the time period to complete our transition plan to probably 20 to 25 years, which is a lot less than it previously would have. Yes, it's a significant investment. And it completes, it all went to the highest priority groups, which in reality, they don't all go to it, depends on where paving is, but it would shorten that even more. And we would get through that probably within 7 to 10 years, the ones on arterials. So that's a big positive. The next one is safety projects. We're proposing a significant investment in safety on our roads of about $10 million over the 10 years. This would support our Drive to Zero goals, which are going to change probably. We're about to do a new version of our Transportation Safety Action Plan, which had a goal of in 10 years, reducing our fatals and serious injury crashes by 50%. And that is supposed to run from 2012 to 2022. We're doing a new Transportation Safety Action Plan that we'll be bringing to you at some point for review and for adoption. We're looking for a different goal. Instead, we're going to the as our name implies, Drive to Zero, the goal nationwide. Organizations are just saying that's still too many. We're going to zero, but we're going to push that timeline out. And it's pretty much industry standard now. One is too many. And that's the goal. So these projects will help us with that. Actually, I'm happy to report, and it's still a tragedy, it's still too high, but last year we had 28 fatalities on roads in the county as opposed to 44 the year before, which is a very large decrease. A little early to speculate why, but it's there, and we haven't seen what the region has experienced yet. And that's all roads, county roads, state highways, city streets, so some of these roads are out of our control.
How many of those accidents are the result of drivers under the influence, that kind of thing, as opposed to faults in our safety system?
Yeah. Well, I don't have that exact data, but it's well documented that virtually all of them have driver error as an attribute, whether it's being drunk, missing a turn, being on your phone, falling asleep. It's rarely simply the road or the vehicle.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, and actually a significant, and I don't have the number right here, but I believe it was about 25% of those were actually pedestrians.
Are what?
Pedestrians. Oh. And that's a trend that's been continuing. One, because crashes have been decreasing and the percent of pedestrian crashes have gone up, but that's still less than, I believe, the year before. And that's, again, nationwide, a trend that has been pretty disturbing and probably where we'll be focusing safety dollars as we go forward. And that money basically will address our Transportation Safety Action Plan does propose programs. We also have road safety audits that I know you're familiar with, where we send experts out to our roads to come up with lower cost solutions, and some of them are moderately priced solutions. We have a whole bunch of projects that we could do with this money. The next line is asset management. And that's kind of a placeholder right now. DTD right now, we're doing a strategic asset management plan before to basically come up with how do we want to be tracking our assets and all of them, not just pavement, and do it department-wide. That effort is going to last probably till the summer, and then at some point we're going to want to invest in a new transportation asset management software package. But we're not sure exactly what the effort's going to require or what the software is going to be because we haven't finished the process yet. So we just put a placeholder in here, especially now that we're going to have more money to spend on our resources. We want to more than ever make sure we're doing it in a very good, defendable manner, and asset management is a good way to do that. It'll prioritize investments so we get bang for the buck and extend lifetimes of assets. So the last one there is bike ped, and all we do have shown here is the mandate. So state law does require 1% of our gas tax vehicle, our road fund revenue to go to ped bike. And so we've carried that through on here. It'll supplement other road fund investments, our fee in lieu of projects, and safe routes to school projects. And again, the reality, like I talked about with safety, if we're seeing a lot of pedestrian fatalities, odds are a lot of the safety money on top of this would go to some ped safety improvements. So
when possible, do you widen the edge of the road, whatever you call that?
Yes, when we do a new paving project, and there's no curbs, obviously, but if we do a new paving project, whenever we can, if we could scrape out inches, we scrape out inches and make it a little bigger.
Good.
In the rural area, there's usually a ditch, and so we can only go so far without it being a pretty major undertaking. But whenever possible, yes. So those are the programs, and the numbers are here. And again, you can see we're ramping it up as the revenue is forecasted to ramp up. The other part of it is the staff. We can't possibly be successful to deliver anything. We're very dependent on staff to either do the work when it comes to maintenance, or manage consultants, manage a project, inspect projects, design projects, acquire right-of-way. I mean, we are heavily staffed. We require staff to do all that. And we can't do all this with the existing staff that we have. So we're showing a ramp up of hiring in order to achieve this. It's basically 12 positions in maintenance, which is road workers, traffic workers, and bridge workers, 6 in our construction group, which are project managers and inspectors and right of way, and 2 in safety to help with the safety workload. And we want to ramp it up early, and there's a reason for it. The entire state is getting money. Their entire state is going to start hiring. They're already talking about it. ODOT's already produced a report about transportation program delivery approach, how they're in trouble because they need to hire a lot of people, and they're not very competitive. So this has got to start now. We have an advertisement for a land surveyor out right now. We have 0 applicants, so it's open till filled. So in order to get these positions, we need to get going. And a couple of them we've worked with Don already, and we're actually proceeding with this fiscal year to beat the curve. But most of them we're looking at presenting in the 18-19 budget. And I added something you probably can't see very well in your spreadsheet, but what percent of this new money is going to staff?
25.
I think it's an important figure. It ramps up a little bit at first, but as the money increases out in years 7 and 8, 9, it's 18% of the money, which if you think of percentages for our projects, I believe is very reasonable and in line with what it costs to deliver work. And again, some of this is maintenance, people actually physically doing the work. So that's our plan, and obviously we would bring it, it would start with 18-19, it would be the budget process would be when there would be a formal approval, and nothing else would be formally approved until we reach that budget cycle. And DeAger's done a nice analysis here, a five-year forecast to show how does this work in the bigger picture, because in the first couple years we're showing actually spending a hair more than what we have coming in. But I want to talk about the road fund in general. The large one, yeah.
Okay, thank you. So you can see over the funding scenario, this one that we put together does show that the estimated revenues are about 2% over what the estimated expenditures are just for the program we've put together here. Obviously, we're going to be working through this as we hire and we see what type of contracts we can let. So when it's all said and done, we'll see how that really works out. But just for this initial take at it, the one thing on our forecast, the target we always keep in mind for the ending fund balance is that we need to keep a minimum of $3 million, and that is a bare minimum, in the account. And what that does is it allows us to respond to inclement weather and emergency response. A lot of times we have to put a pretty large investment out, even if we do anticipate getting money back from the federal government or through some type of state program, and that can take years to actually get back in the bank. So we always have to keep some type of an ending fund balance. And you can see with what we've put together here, even in this five-year forecast, we're getting pretty close to that $3 million. We're down to $4 million. But because the House Bill 2017 revenue continues to ramp up after this forecast terminates, we think that that's going to be okay because we'll be able to make that up in the ending fund balance over the next couple of years. So the road fund support, Mike did mention, and I'll just point out again, when you're looking at this particular worksheet, you can see a couple asterisks in these first columns just showing that the revenue coming in from the new House bill is not keeping up with what we're planning for expenses, but we think that's pretty important to ramp up and get the staffing in place so that we actually can be successful with the additional money coming our way. And what we actually did to put this forecast together, we approached it a little differently. Mike and I went down and sat down with transportation maintenance staff. We sat down with Randy Harmon and some of their group, and we went through it line by line. We looked at a seven-year average history of how we have spent, what our spending has been, and we also incorporated known changes to our program as a result of the new money or just what we know needs to happen. A couple examples might be every 5 years we have to take the Cambie Ferry out of the river. We have to do inspections, often repairs, before we can put it back in. So we know every 5 years there's going to be a spike in the expenses for that particular component of our program. We also looked at the chip seal program. We anticipate that not right away, but over the next few years, we'll be able to ramp that program up a little bit as well. And so we worked all of that into the details behind this forecast. We really tried to make it as accurate as we could, given the fact that we're looking at forecast numbers from the Association of Oregon Counties as well. I don't want to spend a huge amount of time on it. I guess I would look to you to see if you have any questions about it, if you've had a chance to look at it.
Question.
Yes.
So you're looking at 19 and a half FTEs. Are any of those positions that were unfilled positions that were previously laid off during the period of time that we had, our income was down and that sort of thing?
In maintenance. I don't have the exact number, but maintenance numbers, they're getting back up, but they've decreased quite a bit through the years. And there, it's some of that's getting back up to where they were. Some of the others, we did have staff reductions a few years ago, and some of those have not come back. These are different positions, so it's kind of hard to equate it. But I think the ones in maintenance, they're getting back up to the numbers that they once had.
Okay. it's not as if we're just creating 19 and a half new positions out of the largesse, use that term advisedly, that we're getting from the state, but rather we actually are re-employing, if you will, or refilling old slots.
Some.
I mean, I realize that with the workload, some is going to be an increase also, but at least some of it is also.
Maintenance work, obviously what we contract is less labor intensive, although again, we still have to responsibly manage the contracts or we're going to be here having to talk about change orders. But, you know, maintenance work is very labor intensive, and so we can't do more of a lot of that work, especially chip sealing, without our staff, because they do it.
Paul?
So what year did we put in the ballot measure, the road measure?
Oh, it was this past year, wasn't it?
2016.
Year before last.
It was the year 2016?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that sign in the back, you know, that's a product of that work that we had done, and we were communicating out there that we needed to get that money on the road, because every year that goes by, you know, it snowballs and so on and so forth. So, not devil's advocate per se, but coming from the outside perspective of the outside, our critics, I think that that's, we were told that those numbers are outdated, okay, and that we'd be coming back to them. And it's been, frankly, 6-7 months since HB 2017 passed, or so, 6 months. And I think Barb indicated that we had a whole lot of money last year that we didn't spend because we couldn't get contractors out there to put the pavement on the ground. Right? So we've got that build up going there.
Yeah. At
the same time, the roads are actually going down. That's a multiplier. Getting back to the multiplier, that the sooner we get some of that road service treatments down, the better off we are, because the snowball gets bigger.
Yeah.
So from the project delivery standpoint, I think it's really important, at least from the public perception standpoint, that we, number one, get a handle on, is the number still 17? And if so, then shall we deduct the 13 or whatever the number is it as 2017 ramps up in funding?
Yep.
You know, what is our shortfall? And when can we actually anticipate putting some pavement treatment, service treatments on the ground as soon as possible? Because I think that's imperative, because had the measure passed, you know, we've got a similar, if not more, amount of money almost at hand.
Yep.
And we find ourselves unable to do the work. Now, that's a circumstance that's not all on us, because the market, again, we can't get people to do the work, but I mean, it seems to me we're not as prepared as we ought to be, at least prepared with some of the answers. And if that's no longer valid, I think we should take it down out of the corner and then come up with a new number, because I think we're what we're due. So do we have an updated number of what our really shortfall is? I mean, were the numbers we developed four years ago that led up to that campaign still accurate?
So we have to check them again, and I mentioned that right in the beginning. You know, we just converted to this new system, and we are just now, we've got all our new data in, and now we can start looking at that and running scenarios. And we tested for the first time for this. That's how I was able to talk about that PCI being changing by two. Very specific years, very specific numbers. So we can absolutely update that. But we're able to deliver it, and we're about to bid out about $6.5 million in paving in the next, I think, 2-3 weeks, send it over to procurement. So it's ready for a spring package to get it done this spring. One problem, and I think it's what you're alluding to, is a couple of projects last year, we didn't get a bidder, or the bid, we had one and it was crazy high. And part of that is, that's another reality with all this, that's a big unknown. We're not, and I think what'll happen eventually, so when the state passed OTIA 3, which gave, what, over $1 billion towards bridge money, bridge contractors showed up out of the woodwork. They started coming out, and eventually there was plenty of work, plenty of contractors, and the prices stayed okay. We haven't seen that yet with contractors. They haven't flocked here because no one's gotten the money yet. But, and the development world has picked up enough where now a lot of them are doing development work, and so the competition is fierce.
Yeah, I wanted to add that one of the things we talked about at the mayor's and chair thing was that if we got more money, we probably wouldn't be able to spend it. I mean, we're in the same situation as ODOT is. If we got an extra $4 million a year, and it ramped up to eventually 15 million or 17 million, there's probably not enough people out there to do the work. And if the federal government, I'm not going to hold my breath, decides to do a package, the whole country is going to be this way. But we could just build a wall around Clackamas County.
Can I follow up really quickly?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. So if you look at this forecast here, down in the orange toward the bottom, it actually calls out the paving contracts. And what you can see is that under the original budget, we would have been trying to pave approximately $3 million a year is what our target was with the existing funding that we had. And so you can see in those out years in the from 2017-18 out to 2022-23 that that's gone up. It ramps up significantly along with this additional funding. And so as far as finding out exactly what that gap is, we'll have to go back and run the numbers with this new pavement condition index versus the pavement quality index, which is what the conversation always was surrounded. That's how we developed the initial estimates, which really looks at the road base and a lot more than just the visual quality of the pavement, which is what the pavement condition index looks at. But you're right, we need to reset that baseline. But this does show you that we are definitely directing a fair amount of that money toward those paving contracts in addition to some chip sealing and some other programs as well to get it actually on the ground.
Well, I just think that it's really, really important to get the work done, get some progress on that work, as difficult as it may be, and really put the yeoman's effort that way in order to get that, because I think that if we are unsuccessful or we wait too long or we're not aggressive enough, then it's going to be really eaten up.
Yep. Well, I agree, and that's why we're doing some of the hiring now. We're looking to hire a right-of-way technician. We're looking to hire two new project managers, one actually that will be down in maintenance to focus on contract paving, one up here to help with that and do safety projects. So we're already getting a jump start on getting the people so that we can deliver it and get it done in time and so that we get things out to bid at a good time of year as well, which I'm sure you know makes a big difference. And I talked about how the paving money that we're proposing spending almost half of the money on paving. Actually, that's just the actual contracts for paving. There's a lot of staff time involved as well because we have to prepare plans and specs and survey and acquire, get, rights of entries and then manage the contractor and manage the contract. So in reality, it's probably quite a bit over 50% of this money would go to contract paving projects.
I think the public, well, my experience is the public's pretty unforgiving and they don't understand all these different nuances about whatever the market is or there's not availability of contractors. And yeah. So I don't think they really care. All they're going to be able to say is you asked for money, now you got it.
Yep.
And what are you doing with it? I mean,
why
so.
Why is my brother still in there?
Right. And I just
got. If I hit a pothole, you're in trouble.
Well,
yep.
I mean, I know we have a policy where we don't, local roads are last, but I got beat up Friday morning by someone who said, there's a garbage truck that comes at the end of his cul-de-sac and makes these turns, and it tears up the road, and the road's falling apart. What are you going to do about it? Well, geez, to say it, but I'm not sure there's anything we really can do because we don't have enough money for local roads, and voters turned down that.
Yep.
But at the same token, what are we doing with the money we have?
Well, and again, we're using the pavement management system to give us a first hit on what would be the most cost-effective roads to get to. And then when we do that, then we put human eyes on it. And so we look at the package that's been proposed. Then we do pick up local roads that are right there because we know they can't compete otherwise. But if we're going to be right there, we're going to pick them up as we can as we're doing arterials and collectors. So. And we're also going to probably take looks at what are some of the real bad ones and see if we can eat away at them slowly. We don't have enough money to do them all because they involve reconstructs, which as you know, costs about 10 times as much as some other preventative treatments. But if we can bite off one here and there, then we could start making some progress on them.
I just want to say, we just got to have a good tracker of project delivery.
Yep.
In this case, specifically to maintenance.
Yep, I agree. And like I say, that's why we want to start hiring.
To growing, I know it's important. You made a good case for growing staff and growing it now. So forth, but I just don't want to just grow it and not be able to deliver projects.
Yep.
So the land exchange at Government Camp, in case you don't know, is on the president's desk. And there are a couple of roads up there that we need to put some money in. So I hope you'll keep that in mind when you're looking at those projects. One's more complicated than the other. None of them are easy. And if you plowed it today, you might be able to see the ground, but I doubt it. Anyway, keep those in mind, please. That community is willing to take those roads over once we get them up to snuff. And of course, we've talked about this. I know it's not easy. It's going to cost money.
That's not within the road district?
They're county roads.
But they're county roads.
The district's willing to take them if they're upgraded, but it's not inexpensive to upgrade them.
Yeah, they're pretty expensive. We had an estimate.
Yeah.
It seems it's money well spent if you bring the road up to snuff and then transfer it to the road district. That's one more road off of you know, our list. Yeah.
It's one of 14.
I don't disagree.
Yeah, I mean, it's plenty of roads.
It's probably $800,000 to $1 million to do it. And we don't spend much in maintenance on those roads. And so, you know, if we spent the money, we transfer it, but we're spending a lot more than we'd spend on them for many, many years to come.
Yeah, that's true.
So conceptually, if we come to you in the 18-19 budget with a budget that shows something that looks like what we have here 18-19, are we, no? You were saying yes as you went this, did this?
Yes. Hopefully you have some paved roads under your belt by then.
Yeah.
So I have one question that kind of goes just a slightly different direction, but because I know our focus here is talking about road maintenance. But we can't do road maintenance if the physical facilities that house our vehicles and equipment are, you know, beginning to experience the effects of age. Mm-hmm. On a site that is subject to flooding. How and in what way does all this relate to what might be our future planning for dealing with a replacement or repair of our public works yard?
Yeah. Well, we'll be coming back here probably in a few weeks to talk about that very topic in a little more specificity. But we are definitely looking at options for a different home and ways to do it for maintenance.
So I ran into the gentleman interested in that site 2 days ago, and he says he's got a perfect spot. And we're also talked a little bit about that property exchange with the school district that might also open up a spot in Clackamas. So, but I haven't looked at it. Yeah. Anyway, Dan will be showing up here.
Dan.
Fowler.
Former mayor. I was looking at you to talk about the library master order after this is over.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Oh, we still have the dog letter.
The dog letter.
I think staff said we're going to do that another day.
Do you want me to stay for a dog letter?
Yeah. What's that another day?
What?
DACA.
Oh, yes. I thought you said dog.
We were going to do that today.
Thank you.
We'll bring it back. Actually do that today.
We were going to.
I thought we were going to do that today. Were we?
Yeah, the doc letter was going
to
be today.
Just Paul had a chance to read it. He didn't have a chance.
Well, someone came up to me and said, we're going to do that a different day.
Yeah, Gary and I talked, and my suggestion is let's put it on for next Tuesday.
So I didn't read it because of that.
Oh,
nor did I have
is
time.
Is it all time-sensitive?
When we made the decision, I said, as long as we do it today, that was fine. Very specific.
So I want to.